I had a hard time picking a sermon this week. As a matter of fact, I did three sermons this week, and I've been if you've been following along with the daily Bible readings, we've really slowed down and are kind of just kind of taking our time going through the New Testament this year, and I've truly enjoyed that. And I came across so many different lessons that I liked that I just kept doing a different one. Finally, settled on 2 Corinthians, and we looked at much of chapter 4 this morning. I'd like to continue with that this evening. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We had just read verse 14 talking about knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. And we went to Romans and talked about how we died to sin, that the old man was buried, the new man raised to walk a newness of life. But getting back to this in 2 Corinthians, knowing that he who raised Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us to you, for all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. The church was growing. I think sometimes we get caught up in the numbers and just look at the numbers. But Paul points out that the grace is spreading to more and more people. It's not just that the church is growing, but it means people are taking advantage of that. They are enjoying the grace that God has extended. And this is important because of the sin that we have had in our life and to know that we have an opportunity to be with God. And so this grace spreading to more and more people is a big part of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Second time in this chapter that we read that. We do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Mentioned this before. I remember Dad, probably during the last 5 years of his life, he would just look at me, and after we were talking about different things that were going on, and say, Rick, it's a good time to be old. he was ready to go home. He hoped he was ready spiritually, but if, as far as it looked, he was certainly doing all that he could to make certain of that factor. And so he was glad to be to that stage. That's interesting because we often look at different stages of our life and wish we could go back to this or to that. The older we get, while our body does wear down, we're getting closer to heaven. Even though we have more and more wickedness, it seems like it's just multiplying in this world right now. And people are suffering because of it. And we don't make light of that, but we don't lose heart. We're looking forward to heaven. Our inner man, the spiritual part of us, is being renewed day by day. Talking about that that wishing you could go back and have the energy that you once had. The inner man's being renewed day by day. Spiritually, we can have a renewed supply each day in Christ. And then he points this out. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I'm sure that the people that are in Ukraine right now, the innocents in Ukraine that are suffering. I was looking at a picture of a room. It's an underground room filled with kids, and they had a huge crib, and in that crib must have been 7 or 8 babies. They were just kind of trying to get shelter from the bombing. These babies are innocents. These little children that were down there are innocents. And it's hard to watch that, but by comparison to what hell will be like, by comparison to what an eternity apart from God would be like, the things that we experience today are light and momentary. I have concerns as far as what's going to happen to this nation from a financial point of view. We were having difficulty with prices raising out of control. This last year, all of our taxes went up double or more. I don't know what y'all's did, but they must have thought, boy, this guy must have money, so we're going to take it. And they did. I went and visited with them, and they were very polite. I liked that about them. They were like that gunman that sticks you up but says, have a good day afterward. But they essentially told me, if you think it's bad this year, with a smile on their face, just wait till next year. Rising prices have a consequence, don't they? But compared to what other people are going through, it's just an inconvenience. And compared to what it would be like to be apart from God, what it would be like to be going through the things that we go through that are sometimes very difficult without God, it is momentary. It's light affliction. And the things that we go through, if we go through them well, and when we don't do as well as we wished, if we'll repent of it and can go back and start going through them well, it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory. It's just piling up, far beyond all comparison. One of the things I love about reading through the Bible over and over, and I like to read through in a different version. I've been reading through in the New American Standard this last time, and you just get a different perspective, and you think about things that maybe you don't think about when you're looking at phrases that are so common. Or at least in your mind, and just this idea of having an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What's coming is so good from a spiritual standpoint that it's beyond comparison. You couldn't describe it if you wanted to. The encouragement then in this is make sure that you're going to take part in this. Make sure that you are in Christ now, so that as you go through the light and momentary problems that are common to all men in every era, you have a hope that's different from the hope of people who are, it's just for this world. And so what a blessing we have. Verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our hope is in the eternal. So if we can remember that, if we can keep the proper perspective, we're going to have a much more enjoyable life. And I think these are the things that we need to think of. I do think that there needs to be a physical mindset in the area of what do these things mean for my service to God. I think there needs to be a prudence in the way that we live, and there are times that I think we need to be a little more cautious than we do at other times from a physical perspective, but it's because of this. We want to be the best servant that we can be for God. And so if we are making sure that we are taking steps to be in the best position we can, then instead of being part of the problem, we can be part of the solution. And it's so important that we keep our mindset right. It's so important that we make physical plans for spiritual reasons. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. We know that this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. Let me start that again. We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I must say I'm looking forward to that more and more as the years go by. For indeed, in this house we groan. I was thinking about that today. I don't know how many times I come home from working during the day. It's just like, man. And I'll get up in the morning and it's just like, oh, just getting up and unbending. Sometimes we do groan because the tent is getting in a little less good of shape as compared to earlier. In this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Of course, the main part of this is spiritual. It's difficult some of the things that we have to watch. Let me point this out. We're about to invite someone to come to Happy. It is for a Ladies' Day. Her name is Terry Noland, and her specialty is working with the schools, working with what they're planning on in the curriculum and all that. But she sees certain things that are going on in our schools right now. Carolyn was telling me something that's going on in the school that we have here, not from a school perspective, but just from a student perspective. It's getting more and more of a challenge to go through. In places that are not like Happy, there's a lot of combative teaching against Christ. We have our share in Happy, don't get me wrong, but it's different. It's as if on a national basis our schools are working against Christian parents. It's not as if. Our schools are working against Christian parents. There's no question about that. You cannot teach atheism, which is what they teach in school. Even the best teachers have to be very careful not to talk about God unless they're using His name in vain. That's the only acceptable way to do that if you don't want to get in trouble. And so we're trying to bring in somebody, again, it's for the ladies, but can kind of give some idea, not only what's going on, but solutions, things that parents can be thinking about. It's one thing to complain about a problem, and we're really good at that sometimes. It's another thing entirely to try and be part of the solution. I appreciate our teachers here. I appreciate we've got a librarian here. I won't mention Luke's mom by name, but aren't we blessed to have somebody that is loving the kids and is treating them in a Christian way, without fear, by the way, of using God's name in the right way. There are things we can do, but that's one of the things we're doing. And again, when we talk about these things that are spiritual, we're longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We realize that there's a lot of physical things working against us, but we can do our best right now, and we need to be doing our best. By the way, at the end of this, he says, inasmuch as we have put it on, talking about the spiritual clothing, for those who have, they'll not be found naked. Well, what's that talking about? Galatians 3:27 tells us that everyone who's been baptized into Christ has been clothed with Christ. You remember Christ's parable of the wedding banquet, and he talks about finally the ones that were acceptable were able to go to the wedding banquet, and the master came in and he noticed one man without wedding clothes. He wasn't attired properly, and he asked him, "How did you get in here without the proper clothing?" And the man was speechless, and he was thrown out into the darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Obviously, that's a metaphor for hell. But the idea is we don't want to be found naked. We want to be clothed with Christ. We think a lot about clothing our physical bodies, but do we think of the most important as far as not only ourselves being properly attired, but those of us who have children, making sure they are, making sure that our friends are encouraged to be properly attired. Tired. They have to be clothed with Christ, otherwise they will not get to take part in this new body that God has intended for them. Verse 4 of chapter 5 now in 2 Corinthians. For indeed, while we're in this tent, our physical body, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose, that's what we're prepared for. I think one of the most important things for us to keep in mind is that this physical life is temporary. We go through a lot of, this is the only life we know, I realize that, but we go through a lot of angst, whether it's when we're in school, whether it's when we first get out of school, whether it's just going through life until the very end. There's a lot of angst amongst us, and part of that is because we get confused as to what God has done for us. Have you ever heard of somebody asking, why is God treating me this way? Or why me? Or why am I going through this? Well, it's preparing us. But again, our existence is not for here in our physical bodies. This is just the tryout, if you will. And some parts of a tryout are difficult. Some of you guys who went through two-a-days in football, some of you who went through the basketball tryouts where they would try and run you to death and sometimes succeeded, whatever, or seemingly so, that seemed hard. Sometimes this life seems like one two-a-day after another, doesn't it? And yet, this is just the tryout. This is just the proving time, not proving that we are worthy, but proving that we love God enough and Christ enough to put ourselves in a position to where we can be justified and where we can be made worthy. He who prepared us for this very purpose, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge, we're told that the Holy Spirit is our deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. In Romans chapter 4, when we started, we talked about this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what this is the Spirit as a pledge, and we have Him within us, those who have obeyed the gospel. And so verse 6, therefore being always of good courage, and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And then this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the apostles, Thomas wasn't with them the first time. And so they told him, Jesus has risen. And even though Jesus told him he would raise again, and Thomas was with him from the very beginning, and I have an idea, Thomas was probably about as fine of a person as you'd ever want to run into. He didn't believe it. He said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, unless I touch the place in his side where the spear went in, I won't believe. And so Jesus appeared again a week later, and he appeared to Thomas, and he said, see my hands? Feel my side. And you remember what Thomas said? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you believe because you see. But blessed are those who, not seeing, believe anyway. That's us. We do walk by faith and not by sight. Again, it's an educated belief when we talk about faith. Faith comes by hearing the message. God put together His Word so carefully and so perfectly that any rational human being should be able to read it and to understand it and come to the understanding this is the only right way. God made no mistakes in that. For those who don't believe, we're told they're without excuse. But the nice thing to me is we can read it, we can understand everything that God wants us to understand, and so our faith is built. We believe because of what we see and what makes, for it to make sense no other way. Think about it this way. I doubt if any of you have seen your great-great-great-grandparents. Maybe you have. I don't know. But how many would there be? Grandparents would be 4, 8, 60. You have 32 of them. And yet you've never seen one of them. And yet, by faith, you believe they existed. Why? And the answer is, well, because my great-great-grandparents existed, my great-grandparents, and some of us knew at least one of our great-grandparents, and your grandparents existed, and your parents existed, and so you rationalize it. It can only be true that you had those great-great-great-grandparents, even though you've never seen them. And so that type of faith, it's not because we've seen it. We walk by faith, but not by sight. But that faith is rational. It is not a superstition that is passed along from generation to generation. It's the only logical conclusion you can reach. One of the most comforting things that I discovered years and years ago is the fact that when you study with somebody, you can have a confidence that the material you're using, the Bible, is enough to convince somebody who has a good heart. because God has put it in that way. One of the reasons that we continue to read is we continue to build our faith. And so, again, let me encourage you to continue to do that. It's so important. Now, a couple more verses and we'll close. Verse 8, we are of good courage. After saying we walk by faith, not by sight, we're of good courage. Are you afraid of what's going on in this world today? You don't need to be. We don't need to fear anything but God. If we have a proper fear for God, we don't have to fear anything else. So, we're of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body. That's one of the reasons you don't have to be afraid. You were planning on going to heaven anyway, weren't you? Not because you deserve it, but because you've been justified. You've been justified by grace. You've been justified by the sacrifice of Christ. You've been justified by faith. You have that right, even though you don't deserve it. And so we're of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. There were times after Carolyn and I first got married that Carolyn would come back and visit her parents here. And it was always for a week or two to begin with, and I'd get a call about midway through, so Mom thinks I need to stay longer. I always liked the way she put that. Well, there came a point where I was really starting to miss her absence. When the kids came along and they started going with her, well, that was a little different. I mean, that was just a sigh of relief. Ah, silence. This is beautiful. But even after a few days of that, it's like, man, I'm kind of missing them. We were absent from one another. Well, I prefer to be absent from the body, the Apostle Paul says, and to be at home with the Lord. There's going to be a time where we're not separated from Christ anymore. And again, because of God's love for us, if we will do things His way and encourage our family to do things His way, we'll be together. We prefer to be apart from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, for right now, we want to stick around for a while, don't we? I see one young mother right here. We've got another young mother about to get out of the hospital. I'm awful glad we had three kids. I'm glad that Christ didn't come before that time, because our lives are just being enhanced. Now we have five grandkids. I'm glad that God waited to come until then. I look forward to being with them for all eternity at home. But again, it's better to be with God. So when His plan is for this world to end, or His plan is to bring us home individually, we should be longing for that. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Again, we get so distracted by the things that are going on. They have to take our attention, I agree. But don't lose sight that our main goal is to be pleasing to God. And then verse 10 tells us why. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you know that? It's not just to be judged by God, but it's the judgment seat of Christ as well. The beauty of Christ is He's also going to be He is going to be our defense attorney as well. Kind of nice to have the judge or one of the judges as your defense attorney. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed, paid back for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. We're not saved by works, but we're still going to be rewarded based on our works, and we're going to be punished based on our works. That's why we want to be in God's grace. That's why we want to be in Christ, so that the penalty will have already been paid for our bad deeds and that we can be rewarded for the good. Lots to think about in that. But like I say, the Bible is so rich, and this particular part of the Bible has certainly got wonderful things for us to consider. I do want to offer the invitation tonight. It may be someone's ready to become a Christian this evening. If that is the case, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing?